why don't kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beefs,
spazzles,
to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and as always, I hope you guys are having a wonderful week so far. Happy New Year, family. We made it into 2019. Hopefully, you started off your year on a good foot, but even if you didn't, we have the whole rest of the year to make up for it. Want to take this moment to shout out to all of my Haitians out there. Shout out to the Zos Sak Passe. Happy Haitian Independence Day. For those of you who do not know, January 1st, 1804, the Haitians took their independence and became the first black free nation in the world. That set the tone for all of the other slave revolts around the world. And Haiti is responsible for all of these other countries gaining their independence. So definitely want to show respect, love for all of my Haitians out there. Respect and love for my forefathers who paved the way for us. And just a little bit of history. One thing I will say, we will be having a new segment as part of the show. It probably will air maybe once or twice a month, calling it a moment in Black history. So today, since we're talking about Haitian Revolution, Haitian history, January 1st, we're in the new year. I definitely want to take this time to explain to you all the history around soup jumu. So many of you are wondering, what is this squash soup, pumpkin soup that Haitians drink every year? You guys are like flooded with pictures on your Instagrams and Facebooks. Well, soup jumu came out of the revolution, right? So on January 1st, the white slave masters would always make a thick soup with squash, so soup jumu. The Haitian slaves were not allowed to partake. And instead, the Haitians would end up collecting scraps and make like a clear broth soup on January 1st. So when the Haitians took their independence in 1804, the first thing, or at least one of the first things that they did, was make soup jumu. And they made it as thick as possible in celebration for their freedom. So that is why when you see the Haitians posting their bowls of soup, it looks so thick. You'll find pasta, there's meat, there's potatoes, there's sweet potatoes, there's carrots, there's all sorts of things in this delicious soup. And it is to commemorate and celebrate our independence as Haitian people. And so I wanted to basically explain that to all of you because I know many people always ask me, why do you guys drink the soup? This is why we drink the soup, so that we can remember and celebrate our independence. So on today's show, I am going to have a wonderful guest by the name of Marcus Aaron. He's going to come up on here and talk about his life experiences. He is a Christian artist, so he's going to talk about his music. He has an album coming out soon, but he's also going to talk about something personal. He is going to talk about love after divorce and how being a Christian man coming to the decision to divorce despite backlash from the church, but how this was the best decision he could have made for his life, and how he has since found love again and has taken a chance on marriage again. And I think that this is a very important topic because at least for me, I have a lot of friends who are going through this divorce route. And sometimes, you know, yes, you want to fight for your marriage. You want to do all of that. You want to do what you need to do to make sure that you fight for your marriage. But there are times that divorce is an option. I know there's these movements out here, divorce is not an option. But at the end of the day, you know, we are all human and we make mistakes. So Marcus Aaron is going to come up here and he's going to talk a little bit about that. So we're not going to have our Womp Womp of the Week or our Big Up of the Week, but we are going to have our Urban Dictionary Word or Phrase of the Week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Happen on fleek, Gillette.
And it's going to be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary Word or Phrase of the Week.
And so our Urban Dictionary Word or Phrase of this week is pilot lighting. To use social media for the purpose of attracting potential mates while still in a relationship through the use of scandalous photos. similar to how a pilot light remains ready to ignite the furnace at all times. Example, dude, did you see that chick's Instagram? She's totally pilot lighting her boyfriend. Now, I have never heard anybody use this term ever. This is the first time I'm actually even seeing this. However, since we are in the new year, I felt like it was an appropriate term because in 2019, many of y'all's resolutions and goals is to not get trapped on Instagram by these scandalous pictures of people who are already in relationships. Some of you are saying no to being side pieces this year. Some of you are saying no to being trapped. And so pilot lighting is apparently a thing. You guys know that Instagram is a liar. Facebook is a liar. Social media period is a liar. And a lot of times people are getting trapped by these scandalous pictures on Instagram, not knowing behind the post what's really going on. So for those of you this year who are trying to live a drama-free life, here is your term, pilot lighting. Be careful, be aware, be vigilant, be safe out there, guys. All right, everyone. So I am here today with my very special guest, Marcus Aaron. Say hello, Marcus.
Hello, everyone.
So Marcus, tell us a little bit about who you are. What do you do?
Well, I am a black man from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm into music. And I guess I could say I'm more so into music and community uplifting. Like, you know, that's my biggest vibe. Like, I'm really for the community and just music, God's music, though. I'm a Christian rapper and singer, and yeah.
Okay. Now, I know the first time, well, before we got on, we were reminiscing on the first time we met each other. It was actually at, I think you were on a panel.
Yeah, I was on a panel.
You were on a panel, and you were talking about your experience as a divorced individual.
Yes.
I believe that was the panel, that was the day that I met you, and I was like, oh, this guy seems really cool. Like, he seems really positive.
Yeah.
So then we started, you know, Instagram following, and then now we're here today.
Boom, now we're here,
now
a year
connecting,
later.
Connecting.
Yeah. Shout out to Groom for Success.
Jeff Lindor.
Shout out to my man, Jeff Lindor, Groom Success, excuse
Bringing
me.
Bringing people together.
Bringing people together. Jeff is the homie, so he invited me to a panel discussion about being divorced. Especially divorced as a Christian man.
And a young man.
Yeah, a young Christian man. Yeah, I got married like around 20, 21 or something like that.
Mercy, Lord.
Yeah, I know, right? It's crazy. But I'm, you know, it was an important decision I had to make at the time, especially just being a young Christian. It just felt like it was the only decision I had to make. You had to get married, it felt like. And things ended up the way they did. And I was, you know, we got divorced and it was a lot of everything. So people do ask me about it a lot and it's a topic of discussion. So we speak about it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we definitely want to get into that because there's a lot of different, I guess, points that we can draw from your experience.
Yeah.
But I do want to talk about your Christian rap singing career because I see that you are taking Instagram by storm.
God is good.
And I'm listening to it. And I'm like, you know, this is really good, you know?
You know, the wild thing about it is I was rapping before I got saved, right? So my mother, we was raised in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. I gotta shout out Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn every time
of course.
Shout out to Bed-Stuy. But I was raised in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, and you know, coming up in Brooklyn, you young black man, you either gonna play ball or you gonna rap.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, you know, I was pretty decent at playing ball. But I was really good at rapping. So I was rapping up until doing little couple shows and things like that as a little secular, but still never really super hard hip hop because I was never really the drug dealer. Mm-hmm. I was just into women. So everything, my verses was about women like all the time. But I got saved like at 19. Like, I was, like for people who don't know, I guess you could say I was just wanted to take church really, really seriously at this point in my life. And the church I was going to, they kind of were like, you can't rap and be a Christian. You got to kind of choose. They were just saying like hip hop is, their phrase was, is not of God.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to rap, then, you know, if you do rap, then you're putting your salvation on the back burner to be a part of this demonic style of music. So I stopped rapping, like, and I really loved it a lot. But at that point, it was like, you know, if I love God, then this is what I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started a gospel group, like a Christian group, because I could sing as well, too. Mm-hmm. So
Which I've heard, guys, seriously. Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Good looks. The Christian singer group that I got together was really dope. And we actually started having some, like, really pretty decent success, like, traveling and touring and making decent amounts of money, released the music. It was, like, number 6 on iTunes. Oh. Yeah, it was really...
What was the name of the group? Could you talk
about
it?
True Praise. It was called True Praise.
True Praise. I feel like I didn't.
You probably
them.
Did. Yeah. Because we were really just shaking things up a lot in every community.
I think, like, I definitely... I'm going to go back into my archives.
Yeah. True Praise was one... Like, you know, we were a trend setting. I feel like for Brooklyn, like, we had some really... really nice success, like, and just even on a personal level, it was like everything what I wanted it to be too, because we were doing like 2 to 3 concerts a weekend, getting nice money. The money that we were making from these engagements really funded, like, you know, the whole project. Not a lot of people could do that, like, like, have something that would actually start to pay for itself. It's like a business, and then it just actually starts to pay its own bills and put money, like, you know, in people's pockets. That's a pretty dope thing to be, just a, like, you know, a young kid, not even really in the Christian gospel scene like that. I had just started because they told me I couldn't rap.
Yeah.
So now it's like, all right, so what do I do now, God? So we ended up with True Praise, and it was pretty dope. But after the divorce and after a lot of things just started happening, like, I was just got to a point in my life where I had to ask, well, what am I really doing here? Like, I had to ask myself, what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. And I realized that this was just not me. It was not me from the jump. I wanted to be that person I was when I first came to God. And they told me everything I couldn't be. Mm-hmm. And he probably was never even saying anything like that. He wanted to use me the way I was to make change in the world. But it took me a long time to get that, about 10 years. It took about 10 years to really come to that understanding. And, you know, this is where I am now. So the music I'm doing now is pretty much what I've been doing before they told me I couldn't. So now you're seeing the real Marcus.
The real Marcus.
Just empowered now. Like, you can't tell me nothing.
No, it's interesting because I am seeing more and more Christian artists find that, like, that genre, that hip hop genre, right? Like, the streets, you know, like, this is who I am.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, especially with me, I grew up in the church as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that, anything that was remotely secular. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember at one point Kirk Franklin was like, there was like, we can't even have Kirk Franklin in the church anymore because the beats were too loud. They reminded them.
They're too reminiscent of, like, you know, the R&B culture.
Exactly. So it was a big issue. And so I find that a lot of young people, though, left the church because they were just like, if I can't be who I am.
How you
going
to tell me who to connect to? How you going to tell me what my testimony is? If we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, how are you going to tell me how to tell my testimony? Mm-hmm. How are you going to tell me that everything that God put me through to be a type of person who could even connect to the hip hop culture? Because you just can't fake that. You know, you can, but then you'll get shown up sooner or later that you wasn't real.
Yeah.
And for me to even be connected to this culture, this hip hop culture, how are you going to tell me that everything I've been through was just for nothing? It was for me to put it on the back burner and try to live this life the way you guys live it. That's the craziest thing ever to me. And it really took me some time to really come to, like, you know, terms with that. Like, just because this is the way God brought you through doesn't mean that I have to mimic that. Like, you know, I could be myself, really love God, and, like, I could rap. Like, and it's a talent too. Like, not everybody can rap.
No.
So the ability, if you have the ability and you have the know-how and you have the testimony and you got the power of God, why would he not use you to do this? That's
exactly.
So crazy.
Right? And I think that's the most powerful form of ministry. Like, when you're able to use your true self to reach people, because, like you said, if you're not real, people will see
through it.
So you're preaching and they're just, they're going to be like, it's not. But if they see you, they're like, I remember when he was doing this.
Yeah.
And now he's like, he's completely changed
his
life.
Yeah, like, look at him. Like, that got to be God.
Exactly.
And that's the way it works.
And I think that's a true testimony right there.
Absolutely, it is. And that's how people overcome, by true testimonies. Like, what are you really doing in your life? What did you really go through? What did you really experience? And what did God do in spite of all those things? That's a testimony. Yeah.
And I mean, I see that now the churches especially are starting to be a little more accepting of it, but it's still not quite there yet.
The church always like to pick up on things.
Yeah, they are.
And by the time they get it, I don't know why. And we used to create the trends, like the churches back in the day, like the church ran the world. like when you start going back to Constantine and all them things like that, the church was the most important figure in the world. Like the church sent out, pretty much sent out Christopher Columbus to come to the world. Like they had to get permission. Like everything was ran by the power of God, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And then the people, the forces and the powers that be understood how powerful it was and then robbed that from us and then turned us into people that would follow the trends mm-hmm. instead of create them. So now this is where we are now. Christian hip hop is, you know, is flourishing because hip hop itself flourishing. It's becoming one of the most important genres in all of music. And the church is like, oh, now we want to be down with that. You know, I guess it's okay to rap.
It's okay, but I think in some churches, they're still like, it's okay, but we still got to monitor a little bit.
Be mindful of it, right,
like,
right,
how,
right.
You know, we don't want these Tims. We don't want to see these videos.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
This clothing.
That's how they are.
Yeah.
That's just their personality. As much as we speak about being free and, you know, having faith and doing all these things, we live a really, like, bound life. Mm-hmm. And we're really afraid of the things that we tell people to not be afraid of. Like,
so now, what's next with the Christian rap career that you have for yourself? Because you are doing quite well, at least from where I'm sitting, you know, actually watching the videos and listening to the lyrics. Mm-hmm. It's not just about like, oh, okay, oh, he's doing great. But like what you're saying actually like resonates, right? So it's not like mumble rap or mm-hmm. anything like that. It's like, okay, he's talking about something important and people are listening. They have a following, right?
Right.
So what's the next stop?
I mean, for me, personally, like on this personal journey, I really want to erase the lines. Like, I want people to know. And I think it was important for me to take that journey where I had to really be like in an extreme, like crazy Christian. Like, mm-hmm. After I got saved, man, I went like 5.5 years, no sex. Like, I was on some, like, I lived a Christian lifestyle mm-hmm. better than 95% of these
people. You were a legalist.
Like, whoa. Everything, down to the T, whatever God told me to do, I was doing it. Like, I started dressing funny, like, putting suits on.
Bow ties.
All that. Anywhere I go, I'm like, I'm super Christian. Nah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm super Christian. And my life crumbled. Like, you know, because I was putting my faith in my own works, right? So, but what I really want to do right now, where this music is taking me, I know it, is to let the world know that you can love God and still be yourself. Mm-hmm. That's my only goal. Like, you know, I don't even think about it. I don't even really consider myself a rapper. I feel like I am a revolutionist, like a revolutionary. Like, I'm out here really trying to show the world a truth. I'm using my music to do it. But the mm-hmm. truth is, you could be yourself and love God and, like, it'll work out for you really, really well.
Now, how do you feel about, okay, so you're on this journey, you're moving forward with this Christian rap and mm-hmm. really trying to like groundbreak it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you still listen to the secular stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. I mean, yo, the way we created Christianity to be is that we have to become a certain type of thing and act a certain type of way.
Mm-hmm.
The way God, I know, created the Christian walk to be is that we live our lives, but we're Christian. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's not a we're off to the side type thing. It's a we're in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that's why I say you're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. We separate ourselves from the world so much that we're no longer in it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter what we're of. We're of ourselves now. We're of the building. Like, we invite more people to our church than we do to Christ.
That is true.
Yeah.
That
so it's true. More so about the building itself than it is about God. So I feel like take like the way hip hop is going now. Like, I know we spoke about Cliff earlier.
Yeah, kind Cliff of, Gray. Yeah,
shout out to Clifford Gray, where he said he's
the hip hop pastor.
The hip hop pastor. That makes perfect sense to me because it's like, yo, you love hip hop and God created you to be this way. Why would he not send a Christian into this system to say, yo, hey, everybody, I'm just like y'all, but I love Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So we all here, we all chilling. We vibe the same way we vibe. But at the end of the day, I love God. And that's what's going to make me different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I don't have to say, oh, I can't go in this room with you. Yo, where did Jesus say he couldn't go?
Exactly.
Where couldn't Jesus go?
Exactly.
Come on. Jesus was a Christian everywhere he went because he was Christ. He didn't have to prove it to you. He didn't have to dress a certain way. He didn't have to do, like, it was just who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere he went, he did what he had to do. I feel like once we created those buildings and kind of just sat ourselves we lost what Christianity was really about. It was about go be a lawyer and but be a Christian lawyer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even need you to really go to church on Sundays, like, because that's cool, but if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, that don't mean nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go and you don't, like, if your church is not preaching, like the word of God, if you don't really connect with the people while you're there, like, if you're just doing it out of tradition, then you might as well go to a football game. Like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
True.
You might as well go anywhere, because it's like God wanted us to be who we are and do what we do, but just do it for him. Like, that's it.
It's deep.
Yeah, no, it's life, though. It's real life. It's not this fake stuff that we've been handed. Yeah.
But I really feel, I mean, I really wish that, like, the churches would really grasp that message, though, mm-hmm. because I think that is the biggest criticism from my, like, some of my friends who are not necessarily Christians, mm-hmm. or who were Christians, but because the church was how they were, they left, mm-hmm. and now they're in, like, a state of confusion, because that message of you can be who you are but still love Christ is not being resonated out there.
Of course not.
It's not. And I think that's why there's so many people who are, like, living these, like, weird lives. They don't know what to do with themselves,
right,
because
right.
they love God. Mm-hmm. But because of the way the church has, you know, raised them to think that, well, if you still do this or if you're in the world, you can't mm-hmm. you can't love God.
Right.
People are confused.
Right.
And people are not praying
because mm-hmm.
they feel like they're not worthy.
Ain't that, like, the craziest thing ever?
As if
Jesus' death that cleansed us of all unrighteousness once we believe in him was not good enough to cover all of our sins. Only the ones that we feel like, or that our pastor tells us
are okay. Yeah.
Are okay. Like, but did he die or didn't he? And if he did he wash away all our sins or just some of them? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of these things that you really got to ask yourself, well, then what do you believe? Since you're reading this and you're explaining this to us, like, what are you actually teaching these people? I had to stop going to church. I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did. Because the churches I was going to was hypocritical. And I knew it was, because I reached the pinnacle of, I was preaching. I was a minister. I was preaching at different churches and doing all these other things. And it just got to the point where I'm looking around at the people in the pulpit with me, and it's like, y'all don't even really believe this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting here being faithful to a system that doesn't even really believe in the things that it's teaching. And it's only out here, sometimes I feel like, to preserve itself. Like, and people, and you say, how come churches won't get this? It's because it's profitable to not get it monetarily. It's profitable to have people look to me every Sunday for a word from God. So now I got to give my money to you,
mm-hmm.
because it's like, if I don't, then how am I going to hear from God? Not knowing I can hear from God myself and keep my money in my pocket. Or what God had me doing, honestly, when I stopped going to church and stopped paying tithes, I'd be walking down the street and he'd be like, yo, give that person $100. He did it to me 2 days ago,
mm-hmm.
where it was like, yo, give him $100. And I'm like, oh God, I got to give him $100. If you say that, then that's where I am with mine. So, like, you know, because I understand it couldn't, like,
you have a real connection.
Yeah.
That's spiritual.
I don't need
walk.
The pastor to call me to tell me, yo, God told me to tell you, the next person you see, give him $100. How crazy is that?
You called him on the main line.
Come on. Yo, but nah, God want to talk to each and every one of us. He loves us so much. He wants to talk to each and every one of us individually. And that's what Jesus died for.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can hear him individually and move that way. Like, not for a building, not for a church.
Mm-hmm.
We are the church. You know, we are the ones that we got to do what we got to do.
And I think what's inspirational about all this, though, is, again, because you are who you are,
mm-hmm.
young people coming up will actually see, like, they have an example, like, between you and Clifford and all
mm-hmm.
the other, you know, Christian rappers out there. They're like, I can still be who I am and still love God. And I think that's, in my generation, I didn't have that.
Right.
I didn't have, Kirk Franklin, it was a
group. Right.
But
right.
there wasn't anybody in my community
Absolutely.
That was doing that. So you had to repress, you know, whatever
yeah.
it was that you liked. And
Absolutely.
It was like, whatever, and you... But the kids now, I feel like they can actually, like, my son, he's 12.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he loves rap. He's
mm-hmm.
a music head. He's going to be
mm-hmm.
a little DJ or whatever.
Right, right.
But if he were to find out that, wow, like, this guy is rapping, he's rapping about God, like, you could do that?
Yeah, right.
These kids don't know you
they
can
don't
do
even
that.
Know you could do that. Nah, I'm out here, though. I got my tats. I ride my motorcycle through the hood. I'm still out here, like, you know, by Henny every once in a while. You know what I'm
Listen,
saying?
We
here
with
shout out to Hennessy. We thank you for what you do. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's crazy, because at the end of the day, you still see God in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, regardless, you see it, and you see his hand on my life,
mm-hmm.
working for me, working with me, and you like, yo, he's just being himself.
Yeah.
And he's having more success than these people who out here trying to be something else. And I realized that. So again, that's why I said it's here for me to erase the lines. Like mm-hmm. my job is to erase the lines. And I know he sent me up through the system, like kind of how he sent Moses raised in Pharaoh's house mm-hmm. to come back and eventually do away with Pharaoh's house. Like, listen, I'm over this mm-hmm. now. We saw what it was. We saw what you could do. But the real God wants me to do something now. So that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. And yeah, let my people go.
Yes, definitely. So I want to move on now to talk more about life after divorce, right?
Yeah.
And not just life after divorce, but just like, we don't have that much time to go through the process, obviously. But again, being a man of God, being a man of faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
The decision to get to divorce, a lot of times people, you know, who are married are like, listen, I have a duty. It's not about happiness. It's about the duty. I took vows. I'm in the church. People are looking at me. They're looking to me mm-hmm. as a leader. I cannot get divorced. I'd rather be miserable in my house.
Yeah.
But I can't publicly dissolve a marriage because people are looking to me and I'm a man of God.
That's
I'm
pride.
A woman of God.
A lot of times it's pride. It don't got nothing to do with God. A lot of times it's pride. It's like, I'm going to show the world that, you know, I did this. Mm-hmm. And because I did this, like, you know, it worked and... like look at God working through me to stay in this toxic relationship, and he's showing me how to, you know, if God had to suffer, I gotta suffer too.
Mm-hmm.
God suffered so you don't have to suffer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's the truth. Like, but the craziest thing is the divorce is one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make because I really loved my ex-wife. Like mm-hmm. it wasn't people ask me questions now and sometimes you just wonder what's wrong with people. Like they say stuff like are you serious this time, and like little questions like that where it's like, you know that I put my all into that last one too. Mm-hmm. Right, it wasn't like I decided to do that just to end up here, like spend all the money on a wedding and have a kid with somebody, let them keep the crib, and then I go live somewhere else. I'm living back at my mom's crib, mm-hmm. like 20, close to damn near 30, and like, you know, deciding, do I even want to live in my car, like things like that, where nobody wanted to go through that. Like, that wasn't my desire from jump, but it happened that way. It was one of the hardest decisions I ever had to make, but God spoke to me one day when I went to go get the divorce papers, and I was about to do something. God said to me, a real husband gives his wife everything she needs, even if it means giving up.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Because I don't think people think about it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, you know why? Because people are selfish. And they don't understand. Well, or not even selfish. They're just kind of one-sided. And they only think about good as being a part of their story.
Mm-hmm.
When you wouldn't know what sweet was until you had something sour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we reached the point in our relationship where we needed to give up on each other for love to continue to grow. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like we were forcing something that probably at that moment we should not have been forcing. And you have to trust God enough to know that even if this decision is not the one I want to make, it's the one I need to make. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Some people holding on to them makes it harder to keep them around. Some people, you got to let go in order for them to see that you really love them, or to see like certain things about themselves, or just in general. Like, we force way too many things, I feel like, in life, and we just need to just let it flow. And I reached that point where God was just like, if you really love her, then you got to let her go.
But what about your son? A lot of people are like, listen, when Mike, because your son is quite mm-hmm. young still.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to be that father figure in the house. I can't mm-hmm. have somebody else raising my son. Like, I can't leave for my child, so I gotta wait.
I've been there at that point too. And God basically just set me straight too. Because one of the biggest things like that would really hurt me the most was because I grew up without a father, mm-hmm. right? So I'm saying to myself, and that's a whole other story too, because I'm like, I'm not going to be what my father was. That was my only goal,
mm-hmm.
to not be what my father was. And because a man can only move in the direction of his most dominant thought, my only thought was not being my pops, and my pops left. So the family didn't work. So the thought in my head was a not working family from mm-hmm. jump. Even if I thought my feeling was pure, the only thing I focused on was a family that didn't work. So my family wound up ending that way too, because I feel like that was my only dominant thought. Like, my family not gonna break up. My family not gonna break up. Family broke up. Mm-hmm. Cause that's all I was focused on. But so it was harder for me to do it that way. But then God set me straight and he was like, yo, you ended up the way you ended up without a father, right? Mm-hmm. And look at how your life turned out. You hear me clearly. You doing what you want to do. You moving towards your great success. You think my hand is not on your son's life as well? Mm-hmm. You think I didn't see all this? Still gave you him, knowing that a couple years later, you and like your wife were split up. Like, who do you think you are? Number one, that you need to try to fix the world. Like, God don't already. That's a disrespect to him to feel like he didn't see this. And now you kind of got to correct it to make sure something works the way it needs to work, as if God didn't just say, you be you and I'll take care of everything else.
So what about, you know, this movement that you see going on here? Divorce is not an option, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you took the vows, because people are very particular when they're like, but I took vows. God bless the union. So mm-hmm. to like dissolve, like, mm-hmm. you can't do that. I cannot do that. Mm-hmm. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
What is God saying to you? Are you really doing that because someone else said you couldn't? Mm-hmm. Or are you doing it because God said? Because at the end of the day, you can't be married by yourself.
True.
You can't be married by yourself. And if you ever get to the point where someone says, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore, regardless of the reason, you got to let them go. Who are you? Who are you to tell somebody you have to be with me for the rest of your life, whether you like it or not?
But is that where the for better or for worse who does do his part? Where does that come in?
That comes in. Well, listen, at the end of the day, if that's the way you want to live your life, then you could say to yourself, I will never marry anybody else again. And I'll just be single for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. If God speaks to you that way, mm-hmm. do it.
But you're not interpreting it as like you're in a toxic situation. But because you took the vows, it doesn't matter. You said,
nah.
For better or for worse, that's it.
Nah. Because life happens and things change.
We're humans, right?
We're humans. And at the end of the day, with the same mouth that you said, I want to do this with, if someone says, I don't want to do this anymore, how is that power not still available mm-hmm. for you to say, you know what? Nah, I'm over this. Nah, I don't want to do this no more. All right, go ahead. Live your life. How could... So the power that they spoke into it, they can't speak against it now? Like, mm-hmm. they can't?
Now, did you receive any backlash from the church community?
I received a lot of backlash. I received a lot of backlash. And they wanted to know who cheated when it wasn't about a cheating thing mm-hmm. at all. It was about two people who just decided that at this point, we were better off as friends. And that takes maturity to do, too, mm-hmm. to be able to say, you know, I know we kind of did this because we felt like we needed to. But what we need to do right now is what's best for us and mm-hmm. not what other people are saying. So I did receive backlash. Shout out to Hungry for God Church, though, because that's where I was going at the time. And he was not a pastor like that. His name was Vernell Samuels. He was not a pastor like that. He was like, listen, bro, you can't be married by yourself. And if it wasn't for him, I probably would have still been in the marriage because he really just solidified to me a lot of things where it was like, and I don't want to make this seem like it's a certain type of way, but it's like, if y'all don't want to be together anymore, then y'all just can't be together anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And God hears you. God knew where you was going to end up right now at this moment before you even got there.
That's true.
Yeah. But when you was taking them vows, God knew 5 years down the line that you guys were going to want to not be a part of these vows anymore. Mm-hmm. And if you knew it and you saw where this was going to go and you still loved me anyway, and we reached this spot, this is what I got to do right now. And it did what needed to be done.
And it was done.
It was done. I hear him now and engaged again.
Yes. I wanted to talk about that as well.
That was another thing too. Cause I kind of hid this relationship for like 3 years. Just cause
you did a really good job. I was looking for clues.
Nobody knew I even had a girlfriend. Really. A lot of people didn't even know I had a girlfriend. It's just because it wasn't hiding her. It was just, you could imagine how it would feel to go through that divorce and then just kind of pop up back with somebody else. Mm-hmm. They kind of like people, the internet is a crazy place.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah.
The internet is a crazy place. And you got to be really careful of what you share with the internet because they'll use it against you anytime they get a chance. But I'm engaged again and God is good. Just in a relationship that I really could see his, not that I couldn't see it before. Don't want to make any comparisons, but I really just see his light shining all over this. And I know that it was him, especially just the way everything went down. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it's like a God type thing. So I'm cool with it. Because I would have preferred to be single.
Because I feel like when I had seen you, I mean, although you, I guess you were in the relationship at the time, I feel like I'm like, oh man, like, you know, he's mm-hmm. you know, divorced, he's young, like, he's just trying to, like, get his life together, do absolutely. What he has to do, like, he ain't absolutely. Looking for nothing.
So now I'm like,
wait, I don't remember what post it was, I'm like, is that a girlfriend? Mm-hmm. Looks like, you know, Instagram.
Yeah. Like, I put like one picture of up in yeah, 3 years.
Like, so I was like, huh. So then when we spoke, because we've been playing a lot of tag to do this show.
Social media tag.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. So when you told me about it, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm happy for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though, like, I don't know you like that, when I did, you know, meet you, I think it was sometime, what, last year, maybe 2 years ago, whenever he did his event. I was like, this seems like a decent person. He's a good person. You know, you don't come across good people all the time. Mm. And like, I'm a energy person.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a huge energy person.
Yeah, so for me, it's like, it's never about like, you know, on some like relationship love or is he cute, is he nice? It's about like, even for me to have a conversation with somebody.
It's the vibe.
If the vibe is there, it's like, I'll know that this guy is a good guy. Mm-hmm. He's a good person to know or to connect with at some point. Right. And so I had gotten that vibe from you. So when I heard that you were, you know, engaged again, I was happy for you because I know a lot of times men and women, once they've gotten divorced or had a nasty breakup or a breakup period,
right.
The first thing is like, I don't want to get back into that anymore or absolutely. I'm never going
to
get married
again. I had the thoughts of that. And mainly just because a young black brother out here in these streets, you know, it's kind of, you know, I'm not the most handsomest person in the world.
You're not bad.
I'm not a bad looking guy either. It's really easy to just have your way with things and do whatever you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. But then I thought about it. Well, not even me. I could see God's hand on my life where it was like, nah, I want something different for you. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want you to exhibit what you know is true. And I believe that the family is the most important, like, kind of establishment on this earth. Mm-hmm. It's all about family. Like, you know, I even got Feed the Village tattooed on my hand because it's like the village, the family, is the most important entity, like the most important corporation, like business, like anything. Mm-hmm. It's what it is because from family, you learn so much about yourself. Like, I'm really big on unity, community. Like, I'm really big on that vibe because I see it in God himself, too. Like, even he himself, who could have been just that one single being, decided to split himself up into a trinity where it's like, it's me, it's my son, it's the Holy Spirit, because I need you to see how we all work together. I want you to work together that way, too. So I know God didn't just want me to be out here slanging everything.
Yeah.
He did not want that. He did not want that for me because he knows, like, yo, that's easy for me to do. Like, I keep it a stack. Like, I was having sex at like 11, 12 years old, like just mad different girls, hundreds of girls I had sex with, like, just because it was so easy for me to do. Like, it's just what I did. Like, it was not even a thought. Like, you come across people and it's so hard for them to interact with women. But with me and my mans, it was like, yo, yo, what up? Like, you know what I'm saying? You down or what? Like, we had that whole vibe. Like, we was the cool niggas in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Junior high school, we got all the girls, me and my homeboys. Like, high school, we got all the girls. So it was easy for me to do. And I realized that because it was so easy for me to do that, I got to be mindful of that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, the forces that be will use that against you.
Yeah.
They know your weaknesses. So God sent me this woman I know to really be like, I want something more than what's easy for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want you to, this is a relationship that you wanted the whole time. And I'm going to give it to you now, mainly because you're ready for it, number one. And number two, because if you don't have this, you'll never reach your fullest potential.
Because
I would only be focused on things that's easy for me to do and the things I love to do. Like, you know, so I love this relationship because it's like, it really took me to the next level. And I know I wouldn't have the success that I have right now if it wasn't for the woman that I have, because it really just even raised my standards, like, from life. Like, you know, I was in Washington Heights the other day. My man came back from Cali and we went to a club. We was chilling, we was vibing. You know, a lot of times when different type of people walk into a club, like, you would get different type of attention.
Yeah.
So if we in Washington Heights and some Brooklyn dudes walk in, you kind of could feel, like, the way that's going. But it was this one girl in particular, and she was with her man the whole night. And then she started, like, you know, looking at us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking like she wanted some attention. And a couple years ago, that would have been dope to me. Like, oh, you with your man. I'm about to slide you my number, blah, blah, blah. But now I'm like, nah, beloved, you got to do better than that. Like, you know what I'm saying? You out here with this man. You got to be with that man. Because what I want you on my team for is if I picked you up on, like, you know, a technicality like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in a relationship, but I still keep these mindsets like that
you
same
have
type.
To.
That's like, nah, I couldn't have you on my team anyway. You know you what I'm saying? To. Because look at the way you're moving right now. And I know that's because of where God has taken me, who I am, like the relationship I'm in, and just things like, you know, just the maturity that I have mm-hmm. with life. Yeah, so definitely.
Okay. So what is one piece of advice you would give to somebody who is in that space right now where they're like wanting to get a divorce, right? But again, they're being held back because of the church, because of the community, because of, you know, just society, right? A lot mm-hmm. of times I feel like people let everyone else dictate their movements mm-hmm. and they don't really, you know, take that time to really look at what's good for me.
Right.
They don't really seek, I guess, the voice of the Lord, right? Because right. they've already determined that, well, God said don't do this, so I'm right. just going to not do this.
Right.
Like, what's some advice you can give? Because I feel like, I mean, I'm in the midst of a lot of my friends who are on the road to divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are kind of like shaky about it. They're not sure about mm-hmm. it. And so I feel like a word of encouragement from somebody who's been down that road.
I got you. I think, well, first I would say, because I don't ever want to get it twisted, like mm-hmm. marriage is extremely important and it's mm-hmm. really dope. And I would say try to save your marriage at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Anything you could do, try to save it. But once you get to that point where you realize that, you know, this just ain't, it ain't going anywhere. You really have to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's my only advice I could ever give anybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
What is God telling you to do? Because just because it worked for me don't mean it will work for somebody else.
That is true.
It could be like, you know, you fight for it, it works. It could be you get divorced and you two meet up 2 years later in life. Like, I think the most important thing to do is to also realize, too, and this was important to me, love is a journey and a destination,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm journeying in love and heading to love. Just because I'm on a trip and my car breaks down, it doesn't erase my destination.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If I'm driving and my car breaks down, wherever I'm going to is still there. I just need to figure out another way to get there. You know?
That's
so
true.
If you realize this car is done, it's finished, like ain't no new engine, ain't no new transmission, it's not a flat tire, it's something different about this whip where it's just not working, you got to leave that car there. And you got to take another mode of transportation, even if you got to walk for a little bit
mm-hmm.
to get to your destination, because the destination is more important than the transportation.
That's a quote. I'm gonna have to quote you on that.
Yeah, where you're going is way more important than how you get there, you know, because like what's important is that you actually get there.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get there. So my car broke down. Like, you know what I'm saying? My marriage car broke down. But I didn't just stand there kicking the tires and upset about this whip. I said, you know what? I'm grateful for you because you took me as far as you could take me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never a disrespect thing. Like, I love you. And, you know, I wish the best for you. I hope somebody comes along, like, mm-hmm. you know, fixes up what needs to be fixed, or maybe I just wasn't driving you right. You know what I'm saying? Maybe
mm-hmm.
it was me. Maybe I didn't have the, maybe it was a stick shift and I'm just automatic.
Yeah.
I don't know how to work this. So I'm gonna leave this car here though, but I'm gonna keep walking to my destination because my destination is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was walking, I came across another car. I knew how to drive. You know what I'm saying?
It was automatic.
Yeah, it was automatic. It was the type of car I know how to drive. And we've been rolling. Like, you know, and we're the destination, we're moving towards it, and the like, you know, the trip, the journey, we're enjoying every step of it, and, you know, God is good.
And it's beautiful to hear that, because a lot of times, you know, I find that when people do get divorced or leave, you know, their serious situation, they get to a new one, there's a lot of, like, hate toward mm-hmm. the prior situation.
Oh, nah,
right?
Never
there's
that.
A lot of, like, you know, downgrading, downplaying, and all this extra stuff. You know, they have the new one now. It's like, well, that one was horrible. It was this.
Nah,
it was that.
Can't do that.
it's good to hear that, like, you're positive still. And, like, you know, it's really more like, it's, I guess it's the perception and the perspective, right? That, you know, you're insightful enough to know, like, listen, sometimes things just don't work.
Yeah, I was there for a minute, though. You get there when you hurt. Because I was hurt. Yeah. But you know what? Hurt people hurt people.
That's true.
So the second I wasn't hurt anymore, I had to turn around and say to myself, I can't bash that woman. Mm-hmm. I still love my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. She is the mother of my son. And I do whatever I can to make sure she's good. Mm-hmm. Because I got to feed my village. She's a part of my village. You know what I'm saying? So she called me. She needs something. Listen, well, if I could do it, I'm going to do it. It's no, you know, I'm playing these games with her, blase, blase. I'm not playing no games with her. I don't got time to play games. I don't really want to hate anybody in the world. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to hate anybody. I'm going to show love to every single body, even my ex-wife. Like, I want to show her the most love because she spends 50% of the time with my son. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so in the back of her mind, I need her to know that I love her. I always loved her. I still love her. Mm-hmm. So that in her interactions with my kid, anytime she'll be able to say, you know what? Me and your father ain't work out. But he loves me, he loves you, and he loves his family. So he's a good guy in my book, you know, and that's how I live my life. Like, I want to make
sure, beautiful.
Yeah, I want to make sure everybody feels this love. Like, everybody feels this love. Even I feel like sometimes when I got to violate people, I do that in love too. I'm only violating you because I love you. Yep. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to let you feel this because you need to, because I love you. And that's what it's about. I just want to move in love regardless. Anything I do got to be in love.
You need to teach a seminar. Like, get a seminar. Like, let's get Jeff down here and schedule a seminar.
Listen, man, I'm too busy working.
Spreading love.
I'm out here doing that Jesus vibe. I'm actually working. I'm actually doing it. Yeah.
Okay. So before I get to the point where I'm like, I need you to share your contact with everybody, because I'm sure people are going to want to know, who's this Aaron, Marcus, Aaron, individual? Like, how can I, you know, see what he's doing, his works and whatnot?
Right.
So you are very good friends with somebody that I love to watch. I've known her since 3LW.
Oh.
Every time, I was like, wait.
That's a homie.
Notori, I was like, I need Marcus to let her know that she has a fan in me.
I'll tell her.
Definitely.
I'll definitely tell her.
Because I've been rocking with her.
She's in Africa right now.
I see that because, you know, the world is so small. Mm-hmm. So two of my friends are in Nigeria right now, like during the Christmas. And they're posting pictures and she's in the pictures with them.
It's crazy.
I'm like,
world mass small.
It's crazy. And it's funny, there was a picture you posted one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know my mentee, Melissa Madian.
That's my best friend's wife.
That's my mentee from law school.
That's crazy.
And so I'm like, so when I saw you posting pictures, I'm like, this is a small ass world. Like, people just, and that's why you can't hate.
No, you can't.
You can't, because you don't know who knows who.
You don't. And you got to be careful of every step you make, because you really don't know who knows who. You just got to show love everywhere you go. I'm glad I wasn't talking crazy when I first met you, because look at all the people we know.
Listen, I know, right? I was just like, well, he knows.
Yeah, I got to show love. I got to show love, definitely.
But that's how I realized, especially in the community, you know, because I know you were talking about community building and just really just getting people.
That's my thing.
And I think it's important to, like, be the example, right? Like, I mean, we all talk reckless here and there. I'm not going to lie. Don't. But I feel like, you know, the real essence of community building is really when you meet other people, like the interactions you have with them, right? Like, the positive vibes that you give out. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Even just like, you know, like, I hit you up, you could have been like, who is this chick?
Nah. But it's about the vibe, and it's about, like, you know, you push it and you push in. Like what God has for you to do forward. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's nothing to, who am I? Who am I to say, like, you know, that I'm too good to do this, or, you know, I'm not good enough to do that too, because it's an adverse effect. Mm-hmm. Like, if you start to feel like you're too good to do things, then it will come an opportunity where you feel like, well, I'm not good enough. Like, I'm me, regardless of where I go. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get Marcus, if I'm on, you know, in a penthouse or if I'm in the basement, like, you're going to get this Marcus, and that's just it. Yeah, for sure.
So tell us, how can we follow you? How can we find you?
Oh, man, I'm all over social media. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. My Instagram is King Marcus Aaron, KingMarcusAaron, King Marcus Aaron, same thing on Instagram. I can't add anybody else on Facebook because I reached my limit, which I think you can follow me on there too. But it's Marcus Aaron Pass, P-A-S-S, that's my last name. I'm on SoundCloud too. You could go check out some of the music. King Marcus Aaron, same thing.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Oh no, actually on SoundCloud it's Marcus Aaron Music. But you get on my IG, you could get all the links and all that type of stuff. So yeah.
Definitely follow him, guys. I mean, I'm always entertained because sometimes you have some entertaining dancing footage.
Absolutely. I love to dance. I'm just Marcus a dirty Brooklyn nigga that love to dance.
Every time I'm like, what am I watching here?
Yeah, I love to dance. No, I just love, I love life and I love to be alive. Like, that's my favorite thing. So dancing sometimes gets me there.
Yeah,
like,
you know,
other things get me there. So I love, like, to be alive.
I'm a happy man.
That's it. I'm just happy. I love life. Life is beautiful. Like, you know what I'm saying? And you got to live life like that. Like, it's beautiful. So, yeah, that's what I'm out here doing.
But it's good to hear, though, that, you know, like, life is beautiful, yes, but it definitely took some bumps in the road to to the point. But
it do.
I think it's, you know, the overall message is that, you know, life is difficult, but happiness can be achieved.
Of course.
And I
at
find,
every level.
I find that too many people have given up on happiness.
Right.
They're just like, it's not about being happy.
Nah, it is.
It's not about. And I'm like, I don't know how I can live in a world where that is the mantra, that it's not about happiness.
Mm-hmm. No, it is, though. But it's about, like, what you find happiness in, though. So, like, you know, some people would say, oh, I got to go to work every day. But then a wise man who was looking for happiness would say, I get to go to work every day.
Mm.
And I find my happiness in that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If that's what God has for you to do, like, oh, I want you to do this every day. And it's like, you know what? Instead of saying I got to do it, it's like, you know what? I get to do this. And it automatically switches your mind around. Like, I'm finding joy in this because this is what God has for me to do. And a man who doesn't understand how God works would just be upset about it. But then a man who does would be like, you know, God, this is what you have for me to do. I'm going to do it with the best of my ability until something else, like, you know, shows itself. But even if it doesn't, I'm just happy knowing that I'm doing what you got for me to do.
So I guess that's the key right there then. Like, finding that purpose, that connection.
You got to.
Because if you don't, that's why.
What you doing?
That's why you're
that's
able
why you're
to
upset.
Dispense happiness.
That's why you're upset. People that's angry on the inside can't see joy. Yo, one of my favorite quotes ever is, we don't see the world as it is, but as we are.
Mm.
It's one of my favorite quotes ever.
Mm-hmm.
So I could come in this room and see this place as a happy place. Like, this is, oh, I love it in here. Like, you mm-hmm. know, I could do this, I could do that. But somebody with a different mentality would come, oh, I can't stand this place. I can't do this, I can't do that. And it's like, well, you got mentality. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to change your mentality, bro. Because the way I see this as, like, you know, half full. My glass half full.
Mm-hmm.
And at all costs. I'm excited about life. I love it. Not to say that everything goes well. Even when things go bad and I got to take, you know, 15 seconds, just be like, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like, all right. Well, you know, I was at my lowest place. And I don't always share this testimony, but I share it with you. I was at one of my lowest places ever in life. I was right in the middle of my divorce before I even filed any papers. When we really just looked at each other and said, yo, we can't do this no more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I was done. I was finished. So everybody went to work. I don't know why I was ever home because I work 7 days a week. I'm like a hard worker type guy.
Are you Jamaican?
Yeah, I should be.
You might be. Taking.
I'm from down south.
The
so
DNA,
we,
DNA test might reveal that's some Jamaican.
I'm from down south and we work hard too because we've been picking cotton our whole life.
That is true.
So I'm laying in my bed. I don't know what I was doing home, but my wife at the time wasn't there and my son wasn't around either. So I'm laying in the bed. I had just saw a video on Facebook. Forget Facebook because when you down,
mm-hmm.
you'll see them videos you don't want to see. So it was a father coming home. And his wife was with the son. Matter of fact, it was the father leaving for work.
Mm-hmm.
And he was backing up out the driveway. And the kid just kept screaming, love you, dad. I'll see you later. Love you, dad. He screamed it 1,000 times. That was the point of the video, that a kid would say, I love you, dad. See you later 1,000 times. And he just kept backing up saying, love you, son. Love you, son. Mm-hmm. I broke down, lost my mind, right?
Aww.
I'm crying in the bed for like 10 minutes straight. Real tears, 10 minutes. I was crying so much that the bed was wet. It had turned wet, soaking wet with tears. And I said, all I wanted was a family, God. That's all I wanted. Like, from jump. I didn't want to, like, you know, I wasn't trying to do her dirty. It wasn't, you know, I just want a family. Because I ain't have a family my whole life growing up. I just was my mom's and my brother's.
Yeah.
I thought the family was a mother, father, kid. I wanted to have that family. So I'm laying in the bed screaming. All I wanted was a family, crying. I was at the brink of losing my mind. I know it. Like, if it wasn't for this, I would have lost it. God said to me, and I'll never forget this clear as day, he said, so what are we going to do now?
Mm.
I heard it. Like, he was sitting in a room with me. He said, all right, so what are we going to do now? And it was two things. First of all, it was comforting knowing that you're at your lowest, but what are we going to do now? I'm still with you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we going to do now? It's us. We're here. You reached the bottom, and I'm still here with you. So what are we going to do now? And the second part of it was, like, encouraging. Because it was like, I'm comforting you, but I'm also encouraging you, like, we can't stay here. This can't be the end for you, bro. You know what I'm saying? I'm here with you, but this also can't be the end for you. What are we going to do now? And I looked, I stopped crying, I wiped my eyes. I said, all right. I ain't know, but I just said, okay. Because you're here with me, and you tell me I can't stay here. So let's move. And that was, I remember it, like it was, like vividly remember that day. That was the beginning of the rest of my life. And I've been moving and I've been moving dancing.
Shaking, dancing.
I've been
ever
dancing
since.
Ever since.
Happy feet.
Because God with me. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
So no matter who not with me, because God with me. I made it to the lowest and God was still there. So it's nothing you could tell me that would change me. Like.
And I feel like, you know, it's funny how God works, because the last couple of episodes we've been talking about, you know, the end of year blues, being in the dark space, depression, positive affirmations. Mm-hmm. We had different guests come in and talk about that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this is kind of like, you know, we're in the new year now.
Oh, yeah.
We're going
it's a brand
new,
new
year,
baby.
It's a brand
God with
new,
you.
You know?
God is with
and
you. What you
like
going to do?
Somebody needed to hear this. I know for me personally, you know, without putting my business out there, going through stuff. And I'm like, you know, I've been in that dark place before.
Yeah, we
I'm
all
there
have.
All the time.
We all have.
But, you know, hearing another, like, Christian person, like, speak to your soul, it's like, man, like, because sometimes you forget about God.
You do, because you're so busy with the things that's, you know what I'm saying, that's supposed to be about God.
Yeah. And that's me. Like, I, you know, you see my Instagram, I do a million things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like, you know, God's on the back burner, unfortunately. But then it's like there comes a point in your life where you feel like that emptiness.
Yeah.
And it's like you have somebody who just... Like
you're
talking
up.
Here.
Man,
I'm like,
yo, wait.
I'm like, damn. Like, I feel like I'm rejuvenated.
Yeah,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
tomorrow's
it.
Another
that's
day.
Said we alive. We are alive. Yeah. We are alive. And tomorrow's today's another day for you.
So I appreciate you.
Know what I'm saying? Oh, for
definitely,
sure.
Definitely. Definitely appreciate you. Because the one thing with this radio, you know, like people have. I mean. A lot, there's a lot of different listeners out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah,
but for
me,
I'm not ashamed of like talking about like what I'm about.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So if like I'm gonna talk about God, if that's my thing, that's what I'm gonna do.
That's your thing.
And that's what it is.
They
right?
made it separate, but it's everything. God is everything. Like you could do what you do and love God, and that's like we made everything is about God.
Mm-hmm.
Even the things you think that's not, it's about Him. We made it separate, but it's not. Yeah, for real.
So I definitely feel like a sense of like rejuvenation.
And then God is here.
I'm about to go dance.
God is here. You better.
I'm about to go tap dance.
You better tap dance.
So thank you so much, Marcus, for joining us. I definitely feel like we're gonna have to do like either a part two or we're gonna have
whenever
you come
back whenever
and talk about, you know, your booming Christian rap career, because I know I'm gonna see some stuff.
Oh, definitely.
Just put me in the credits.
Album dropping. Got you. Album dropping really, really soon. Single about to drop really, really soon.
Do we have a date or a month approximately?
You know what? I'm looking at January for the single.
Mm-hmm.
And around March for the album. I just really want to keep my foot on, you know, the gas for this whole year. Things is really working out for me. And I just want to, you know, just do it. Like, you got
to
do the work.
You
the
have
bottom
to.
Line, you got to do the work.
You have to.
You can wish, you can pray, you can want anything you want. But if you don't do the work, it's not going to happen for you.
Okay. Yeah. So for those of you guys who didn't quite get his IG or you just weren't paying attention, follow me on According to RP at Gmail, Jesus. According to RP on IG.
Yeah,
but if you want to send me an email at According to RP on Gmail, you can do that too and ask me who was that guest that you had. Well, I'll share your IG. I'll share, you know, your Facebook. I won't give you a personal number though.
Nah, that's all good. I'm about to change that dream anyway.
Make sure when you change it though, you let me know.
I know, I got you. Because once I hit that Grammy nomination and that first
you
million,
know what I'm saying?
I gotta change the number.
Listen,
I gotta change the
listen,
number. I gotta
listen,
keep the circle small.
Listen, you know as long as I'm in that number.
Got you, nah. We lit.
That
we
matters.
Forever lit.
That matters.
You loved me when we didn't, you know, I wasn't there. I'm not there yet.
I didn't even know you were there.
Yeah. So
you know
I appreciate that. So when I get there, I gotta in the interviews all day.
Listen,
anything you need, we
listen,
out here.
Listen, once a month. No.
Call me. I'm coming through. We out here. Brooklyn Commons, what up?
Yes. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. I don't know about you guys, but I had a great time with this interview today.
Oh, yeah.
And make sure you tune in next week. Have a good week, everyone.
Yeah.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Thursday.
I can't wait to come back.
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
It's all online.